Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I bless the name of the Lord and I'm thankful that you are with me today. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of the Trinity Baptist Church, Greensboro, High Point, Guilford County, North Carolina, and the world and wherever man is found. And I am absolutely elated that the Lord allows me to minister to you. You are important, whether or not you know it. Every human being is important. Every human being is important. Every human being is important. If you are the only person listening to me right now, that is extremely important to me and extremely important to Almighty God, because every human being is important. I call your attention to the Holy Bible, and in the Holy Bible, in the book of Proverbs, Proverds, in the book of Proverbs, which is also the inspired word of Almighty God, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and in Proverbs chapter 8, the reading begins at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 8, the reading begins at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 36. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For a short while, my friends, let's worship together using the topic, sinning is easy, but paying is hard. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. There are rules that Almighty God has established. There are spiritual rules and there are physical rules. Planet Earth has rules. The universe has rules. And those rules actually are for the good. Many people, or at least some people, will teach you to disobey the rules, to disregard the rules. But there are rules of God, and God has established rules of nature. There are rules of physics. There are rules of biology. There are rules. We live in a universe that has rules. And when we violate those rules, we could say that we sin. when we refuse to obey those rules, particularly the rules that are established by Almighty God. We sin, and we harm ourselves, even though we might not know it. Whenever you sin, you harm yourself, whether or not you know it. Wisdom says it this way, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." That's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. Wisdom leads us to obey the rules of God. Wisdom leads us to obey the rules of the universe. Wisdom leads us to obey the rules of physics. God established those rules for us. When we miss the mark, when we decide that we don't care about the rules, we're going to do it our way, we actually wrong ourselves, as Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says. We also wrong others very often. And certainly, when we rebel against the rules that God has established, we wrong God. That's part of what sin is, rebelling particularly against God. Whenever one rebels against God, one sins. And so it would behoove us, first of all, to know the rules, to learn the rules, to study the rules, to study what God has said, to study the commands of God. That is one reason why Bible study is so important, because we find many of the rules of God. We find the wisdom of God. Wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Well, sin has been on planet Earth from the beginning. We see it in the Garden of Eden when Eve and Adam sinned against the commandment of God. Anything done against the commandment of God, you can be sure is sin. Whatever God commands and you decide that you don't care, you're going to do what you want to do, that's sin. Whatever God commands and I decide that I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do, that's sin. Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Wisdom obeys the commandments of God. As a matter of fact, wisdom obeys the commandments of physics. It's a foolish person who decides that the commandments of physics are not real. It's a foolish person who decides, well, I can jump from a 12-story building and live? That's foolishness. That's against the rules of physics. That's against the rules of biology for a human being, given size and weight and configuration. That's against the rules of biology, the rules of physics. And so wisdom is that thing which leads us to righteousness. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8 says, Proverbs 8:8 reads this way, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them." Proverbs 8:8, All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 8 says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Proverbs 8 and 9, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Sin is a horrible thing, a horrible thing. It is a harmful thing and a hurtful thing. Yet for some people, sinning is easy. But the truth is, paying is hard. You might find it easy. I pray you don't. A person might find it easy, a foolish person, to just jump off the balcony of a building. But the result is going to be death, more than likely. Death. And so, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The wise person would never jump off a building like that. A wise person would never take that foolish decision. Not a wise person. One might say, well, you know, Reverend, when the 9/11 occurred and the fire was in all the lower parts of the World Trade Center, and some people, because the fire was so fierce and they had no way out, they jumped out of windows. And even though they did that, even though that may have seemed the only way out, they still paid the penalty of death. Even though that seemed to be the only way out, and there are times when people seem and feel jammed, and they say, I got to do this, I got to do that, and they do it, and they pay the price of death. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, I'm not blaming those people for jumping out, because fire can do that. I'm not even saying that they sinned. That was a different situation. To them, it was to stay there and burn in certain death, or to take the only chance they saw and jump. I'm not criticizing them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing them. My point is, because the jumping violated the laws of physics, they still died. They may have had a good reason. It may have seemed the only thing they could do was to jump. I'm not criticizing them. I empathize with them. Lord have mercy. That is a horrible situation to be in. But yet the laws of nature did not abate and let them live, unless someone was down there with a net or something that caught them. The laws of nature still operated. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. I'm not saying they sinned by jumping. I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, that there are some laws that do not yield. There are some laws that do not yield. And one is the law of falling from high heights. The person who jumps out of an airplane with a parachute has decided that he's going to take into consideration the laws of nature and the laws of physics. And he's going to have a parachute that's going to help him deal with the laws of physics that would surely kill him if he jumped from 10,000 feet. Because the laws of physics normally do not yield to the reason for why you are doing it. And the laws of God are very similar. God has certain commands. And those commands do not yield to the reasons for why you are doing it. They don't yield. In seminary, they teach us about what's called situation ethics. And one of the situations they give is of a woman and her children, her family, being in a Nazi concentration camp. And they daily are seeing their friends and neighbors and family members being killed in the gas chambers or whatever the killing mechanism is for that camp. And so they know assuredly that their day is coming. They know assuredly that their day is coming, that all their family will be killed. In the situation ethics class in seminary, they say, now, a prison guard says to the mother, if you will sleep with me, I will save your family. I will get you out of here if you will just sleep with me. So she's married, her husband is there, her family is there. They may not hear the prison guard say that. This is a situation, ethics situation. And so they ask us in seminary, what do you do in this situation? Does she sleep with him to save her family? Or does she hold on and not do it? Situation ethics are often what people use to commit sin. Their reason for it. Very similar to jumping out of the World Trade Center. In that case, they're trying to save themselves, but the laws of nature don't yield. If she decides she's going to sin against God by sleeping with that prison guard, does she sin or does she not sin? Does the law of God concerning adultery yield in that situation? Or when you have no food and a man tells you, I'll give you $5,000 if you'll stay with me for two nights, your family can eat, and you'll be doing a good thing. That's a situation, ethics situation. Do you do that, young lady? Do you do that, old lady, to get the $5,000? Do you justify it? That's a situation, ethics situation. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. The soul is involved, not just the physical you and me, not just getting along day by day, not just continuing to live, but the soul is involved. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's what wisdom says. That's what the righteous lips says. That's what God says. All they that hate me love death. Or it might be easy to sin. Or it might be, oh yeah, that's no. $5,000, give it to me and let's go. And that's what many of you would do. Many of you would. But Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Sin is an offense. And it is an offense. Sin is an offense. It is an offense against God. It can be an offense against your neighbor. For example, two families live side by side. And your neighbor has a beautiful wife that you like. And you just are very, very lustful toward her. You just wish you had her. And you decide that, well, she likes me too. I can tell by the way she looks at me. and you decide that you're going to seek opportunity for the two of you to secretly get together. And you do that. You violate God's rule. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. God, and it's important that God chose certain things to put in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not even covet. You shouldn't even want to lust after your neighbor's wife. That's unwise. That's foolishness. No matter how beautiful she is. Or it might be the woman lusting after her neighbor's husband. And I have worked with many females, and I've heard some of them say, young females, I've got to get him. I've got to get him. In those cases, the person that I assumed they were talking about was not married. But I know how some females are. If they set their sights on you, they're going to try to get you. And if you are that husband that your neighbor's wife tries to get, and you are saying, well, she wants me, and some of you will rationalize and say, well, I guess God gave me favor with her, and I guess God is doing this because my wife is not always nice to me. I guess this is God fulfilling or filling a void. You see, we rationalize. I guess this is God filling the void in my heart. My wife doesn't seem to love me, so I think this is the way God is making it up to me. I think God, no, my friend, that is not wisdom. That is foolishness. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. Sin is an offense. It is an act that will elicit a penalty. Whenever you sin, there's going to be a consequence. Whenever you sin, you become an offender. And you become guilty. Guilty. You are not complying with the rules. You are missing the mark. You are missing the road. Or you say, oh, it's no big thing to miss the mark. I'm just doing this. I found I've taken aircraft flight training. And I found that missing the mark or missing the road can be disastrous. You're coming in to land the plane and you wanting to get on the ground. You see, a lot of times it's our desires. I want this. So you've been flying and you want to get on the ground, and so you're coming all in for a landing and you're not rightly positioned on the glide slope. But you're going to land anyway because you can't wait to get on the ground. But there are laws of physics that say if you land wrongly, it can end up in death. One thing I decided about flying aircraft, in coming in for landing, my main objective is not to land. My main objective is to live. If your main objective is to do what you decide you want to do and you don't care about the laws of nature, you don't care about the laws of God, and you're just going to miss the mark, you're going to miss the road, you come in with a plane and you miss the runway, you might not survive. You miss the mark. You miss the road. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That pilot trying to land that plane and decide, I'm going to land anyway. I know I'm not rightly positioned. I know I'm not even on the runway, aimed at the runway the way I should, but I'm going to land this plane. It's probably going to end up dead or almost dead. You got to learn how to live. And the way to live a human life is not to miss God's mark. is not to miss God's runway, is not to miss God's road. You must obey what God says do. A lot of people says, obedience is not important, but the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You must learn the important thing on earth is to do that which will help you live eternally. Oh, you can easily say, oh, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to land this plane. I don't care how I'm lined up. And flying is not very forgiving. There are some pilots who in the military who used to say that there are old pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. Meaning you have got to obey the rules of physics and of nature. And if you don't, you're not going to live long. There are certain rules you must obey. And a bold pilot, I'm going to land, I don't care. That's foolishness. And it might be your last time landing. And you might not survive. And that's why the pilots understand you got to obey some rules when you fly an aircraft. And they say there are some old pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. A lot of you are bold. I don't care. You say, I don't care what God says. I want to do this. People who just want to do what they want to do, and they're going to do it, and it's the devil in hell more than likely who's leading you so that you can end up in an early death. Many people die early because of foolishness. Many people die early because they violate the laws of physics. That's why speeding on the highway too fast is a violation of the laws of physics. Because the instrument you're in, the vehicle, the car, whatever you're driving, there are certain laws of physics to which it must adhere. And when it violates the laws of physics, no telling what's going to happen to you and to it. Just go by a junkyard. Just drive into a junkyard and look at the wrecked cars. And look at, just drive by a junkyard and look at the wrecked cars. Either their driver violated the laws of physics, or someone else violated the laws of physics and committed a transgress against them. They tried to occupy the same space at the exact same time. That's one of the laws of physics. When two solid objects try to occupy the exact same space at the exact same time, that's a violation. That's a violation of the laws of physics. That's a violation. That's a violation of the laws of physics. That's a transgression against the laws of physics. That's a missing the mark too. So, when you violate God's laws, you sin against God. Sin is an offense against God. In the Old Testament, there's a word in the Hebrew, katoth, katoth, katoth. It's probably pronounced in Hebrew, katoth. Kahatoth, kahatoth, kahatoth. It means sin. It means sin. An offense. It means that you are against God. That you are against something. That you are missing the mark. You are missing the road. You are disobeying. Kahatoth, kahatoth. Probably the way it's pronounced in Hebrew, if I remember my Hebrew pronunciation correctly. And when you do that, you sin. As I said, my definition of sin is rebellion against God. And that's what it is. Sin is against God. That's what Kahat taught. Kahat taught. Kahat taught. It's a sin. It is sinning against God. God, if you survive, God wants you to return from sin. Men are to return from sin. And oftentimes men adopt a lifestyle of sin. They get on a path of sin. And they sin and sin and sin and sin. They keep missing the path that God has outlined for them. They get off the road of righteousness and get into the ditch of sin and on the highway of sin. And it leads to death unless they correct it quickly. And the way to correct that quickly is by repentance. You must repent. You must repent. You must repent. You must repent. We see in Psalm 25, if you would take time to turn to Psalm number 25, it deals with sin. Psalm number 25, verse 7. And in Psalm number 25, verse 7, we read the following. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. If you have been foolish enough to sin, if you have been foolish enough to sin, my friend, the thing to do is repent, 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 repent. If the devil has led you astray, if the devil has caused you to create a fault in your walk, if you have harmed yourself and your soul and others by sinning, if you've caused loss, that's what you do when you take somebody's wife. God has created this family, this blessed cocoon of husband and wife and children. And they are a wonderful, beautiful family. God has created this cocoon, husband and wife and children. And they are a beautiful entity, a beautiful family. The husband is happy. He has a wife. The wife is happy. She has a husband. The children are happy. They have a mother and a father. They have a brother and a sister. Beautiful, beautiful family. And then you come in and commit adultery with the husband or the wife, with the husband if you're a woman, or with the wife if you're a man. You cause loss to that family. And then when they divorce, that's an explosion. That young family has exploded. And the people who have the greatest loss are normally the children. That's why God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's why you're supposed to be together until death do you part. That's what God commands. But if you say, I don't care what God says, I want her, I want him, that's who I want. Or if you are part of that family and you decide you want to go outside and deal sexually with somebody else, sexually and treacherously, you cause a loss to that family. You cause a loss to that family. God condemns that. There is another Hebrew word in the Old Testament, kahatau, 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 kahatau. And it means sin, sin, guilt. You have sinned. It's a verb. It's your sinning. You've taken an action to sin. Kahatau, kahatau. Kahatau. You've sinned. You've created a harm. You've caused a loss. You're at fault. You're at fault. You're at fault. You're at fault. You have sin guilt. You sinned against yourself. You sinned against your family. If you're a man, you sinned against your wife and your children. If you're a woman, you sinned against your husband and your children. You're at fault. You're an offender. You've caused loss. Loss particularly of confidence in you, of confidence in your fidelity. You've harmed your family. You may have found it easy. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. So my friends, think. And sin is normally a moral failure. A moral failure. Like the woman in the concentration camp who sleeps with the guard to save her family from being killed. That's a moral failure. A woman who accepts $5,000 from a man who says, stay with me two nights and you get $5,000. That's a moral failure. And it's a moral failure toward God. It's against God. And it results in wrong. It certainly results in wrong. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. The New Testament, the Greek word is hamartia. Hamartia. That's sin. It's a verb which means missing the mark, a missing of the mark. That's what it really means in the Greek. We should seek to do right and righteously. You're flying that plane and you miss the runway. Normally, one crash can take you out. Thankfully, with God, there's Jesus Christ. There's Jesus Christ. You sin and you repent. Repent, 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 repent. Some of you have already found yourself guilty, but what I've shown you in this ministry here this day. But because you are listening to me, you can repent right now. You can say to God, I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know it was that serious. I didn't know, Lord, I didn't know, but now I know. I found it easy to sin, but Pastor Page has shown me that paying is hard. And I thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who paid the price for my sins. I didn't understand it. I thought that cross thing was stupid. I thought that dying on the cross and being in the grave for 3 days and rising the third day, I thought that was silly. I thought it was just a parable, an allegory. But I've heard now from the man of God, and I understand why Jesus needed to die. And I understand why he needed to rise again, that I might stand righteous before thee. I understand now, Father, why your son had to come to earth and represent me in death, because I couldn't die and still live, but he could die and pay the penalty for my sin, and you could raise him from the dead. Not only for my sin, but for the sins of the entire world. I understand now, Father God, why Jesus Christ had to die. I understand more now, Father God, about what the book of Romans tells us about Jesus Christ. I didn't understand it before. I just read it and I said, well, what does that mean? And what does this mean? But now, Father God, after having heard Pastor Page put it this way from the scriptures, I understand now. I see in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And I can say now, hallelujah, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it says here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. That is from Romans chapter 5. My friends, Jesus is that second chance. We crashed our plane on the runway, but Jesus had already paid the penalty and we didn't die, because Jesus upset, suspended for those of us who repent. He suspended those rules and said, I paid it. I paid it. I paid it. I paid it. Now don't get me wrong. Even though you're a Christian, you crash a plane on a runway, you're probably going to die physically. So don't get me wrong. Don't understand me to say that, well, since Jesus died, I can be callous. No, I'm trying to give the example of that which is already ordained to death. Jesus has interceded spiritually. This is spiritual sin. When you sin, that is an offense against God. That is an offense against the rules and laws and commandments of God. So when you sin in a moral way or a spiritual way, you can repent. But if you crash your car into a tree, you're probably going to die. Unless God sends an angel to save you. And he has not guaranteed to do that for everybody, not even for Christians. So you still must obey the laws of physics. You must not try to cause your car or your truck to occupy the exact same space as another car or another truck. You must not try to cause your plane to occupy the exact same space as another plane. The laws of physics and of nature are going to operate, and both of you are going to be in trouble. If you try to cause that, you're going to be the offender. The other one might be the victim, but you are going to be the offender. But in the spiritual and moral realm, you can repent. You can repent. The physical laws of nature are very precise. When you try to cause two objects that are solid to occupy the exact same space, there's going to be a collision. There's probably going to be a problem. A problem. And it might be deadly. Sin in the moral and spiritual sense is also deadly. But if you survive long enough to repent, if you survive long enough to repent, you can undo the final payment. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. But if you can survive long enough to say, "Oh Lord, save my soul. Oh Lord, forgive me. Oh Lord, I'm calling upon the name of the Lord. For I heard the preacher say that Romans chapter 10 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Even if you're in a car accident, I was on my way to Winston-Salem from High Point a number of years ago on the superhighway on Interstate 40. And a car headed east. I was going west. A car headed east came across the median and struck another car, overturned, and the two women in the car were thrown out onto the superhighway. And I was just arriving as it happened. I saw it happen, and I stopped. They could have hit me, but for the grace of God, but they hit the car in front of me. I'm not sure if it was a car, truck, or whatever. I think it was. It wasn't a big truck. If it was, it was either a small car. I don't remember the exact kind of car they were driving now. And the person in that car didn't seem to be extremely harmed, but those women who were thrown out onto the highway were hurt and hurting. And I went up. I saw one. I saw them both. I went to one and began to talk to her and console her, and to instruct her to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. I didn't know if she was going to live, and she didn't either. But she was receptive to my ministry. I held her hand, and she was receptive to my ministry. And then finally, the emergency people arrived and told us to back up and get away from them. And they weren't even nice about that. They could have been nice. We were trying to help the people. They roll up, and they're going to come in commanding us to get away from them. So we backed up. But I'll never forget, there was a Caucasian lady who was standing and watching. And she said to me, she said, "If I am ever in an accident, I hope you are there. If I am ever in an accident, I hope you are there." She saw the Lord working through me in ministering to that lady, and she gave that testimony. "If I am ever in an accident, I hope you are there." But the thing is, things can happen. But at the last moment, if you're still alive, like I ministered to that lady, I don't know if she lived or died. I don't know. I prayed for her. I prayed that she would live. I told her to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on him. Ask him to forgive her sins or save her soul if she wasn't saved, to heal and help her and let her live. That lady heard that, and she said, "If I am ever in an accident, I hope you are there." It's not me, but she saw God ministering through me. My whole point is, if whatever you do or encounter, if you're still alive, pray to God. Even though you may know you're going to die, call on the name of the Lord. Ask him to forgive your sins and save you. That can make the eternal difference. Maybe you've sinned horribly. Maybe you've been a prostitute. Maybe you've been a murderer. But if you are still alive, pray. "Oh Lord, save my soul. Oh Lord, forgive my sins. I repent." Reverend, you mean that just by doing that I can miss hell? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the word of God. And if you arrive at heaven's gate and God asks you, "Why should I let you into my heaven? You've been a sinner all your life, and you're just now calling on me," you can say, "I heard Reverend Page say that in the book of Romans chapter 10, that your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father God, I know I was late. I knew it was only a moment or so before I died, but I called upon the name of the Lord. Please, honor your word. You're not a man that you should lie, or the son of man that you should repent. Honor your word. Honor your word. Honor your word. My friends, to sin is easy. Sinning is easy, but paying is hard. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for repentance. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for Proverbs chapter 8. Thank you for all you have done, are doing, and will do. And thank you, Lord, that we have come to repentance. We have used wisdom instead of foolishness. And we've come to repentance, even if it's at this very moment. If we've been foolish all our lives, right now, I repent, I repent, I repent. Please forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Please save my soul. And Father God, I will make my best effort to not miss the mark. I will make my best effort to not sin against thee. I will make my best effort to not rebel against thee. I will make my best effort to not rebel against thee. I will make my best effort to not rebel against thee. I will make my best effort to not disobey the laws of nature. I will make my best effort to not disobey the laws of physics. And I will make my greatest effort to not disobey you and your commandments. I will stop rebelling against thee. And I will submit myself unto thee, thy will, thy way, thy word, and serve you continually as long as life shall last. In Jesus' name, Father God, this is my commitment. Pray that, my friends. Say, oh Lord, save my soul. And when he saves you, contact the Christian minister in our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.